at 8:46, Board of Equalization. We will now call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Supervisors at 8:46, or what did I say, same time?
Mm-hmm.
46. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open meeting acts is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Beyer, Setzer. First thing on the agenda is the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of the minutes from the meeting held August 7th, 2013, approval of all claims through August 21st, 2013, in the amount of $693,075.73. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve register of deeds fee report for the month of July 2013. Approve utility permit 966 for Hutton Construction on a temporary driveway slash entrance permit located in Section 15, Township 4 North, Range 5 East in Blakely Township. Approve receiving and placing on file a county office inventory reports. I need a motion to approve or pull anything off to consider separately.
I would like to have a claim for Scepter's Manufacturing in the amount of $144 pulled off to be considered separately.
We'll pull that. We'll consider that separate. Okay.
I'll just bring it up quick, and Don will have to give the amount of our new insurance carrier. There was a claim that came in late. And because of the fact that they will be coming on September 1, and because of the fact that we don't have a meeting again before then, you included that.
Right. At the end of the year, everything has to be paid by August 30th, our last work day in August, by the TBG. So we had one Tuesday came in at the last minute, so we included that after you guys. So I called these guys.
And let us know.
Just 20,000 is what it was.
It wasn't for a new one. Because we're going to a new one, this is for the old.
Clearing out
our
the
original
old.
One. We're clearing to fulfill that account or whatever. So.
All right, so I need a motion to approve the consent agenda with the exception of the Setzer Manufacturing claim for $144, which we'll consider separately.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Any more discussion? See none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next, as we are going to consider, I need a motion to approve or disapprove the claim for Setzer Manufacturing for $144.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Discussion. Vote. 6 in favor. Kathy abstains. All right. Next on the agenda is the regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Room full of people, but technically nobody's from the public. Okay, committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights.
Nothing right now. We are going to cooperate with the Gage County Historical Society on putting some photos up in the hallways. Davy Jones is working with them. That'll be very attractive in the courthouse, and so those will be going up here shortly. But other than that, nothing unusual. We will be meeting again on the 30th. And at 9:30, so that's it.
Equalization.
Nothing unusual other than what we'll get into later.
Finance and insurance. Do you want to do that? Wrap that in towards the end with.
Yeah, I'll just make a quick comment. I guess on insurance, the finance. Most of that will be in the budget. Later, we have a discussion item for the budget. But the insurance, I believe. Hopefully everybody got their page back in or whatever. All the employees were sent out, including the county board, that needed just to update and make sure you have the right information for it when we go to our new insurance company, so our new insurance carrier.
Human resource employee relations.
We're still just trudging ahead on the handbook, and I not to do with this, but I did go to Blue Valley Community Action in Geneva last night, and their big thing is the sequestration and the lack of funding and the programs that they're having to cut. They've closed one Head Start unit and having to make some serious cuts, so that's their big thing.
Questions for Kathy? Law enforcement, emergency management?
Let's see. We had some budget discussion, but that we'll have that later, I'm sure, again with finance. Guess you didn't really have anything you wanted to add today, did you? Yeah. The only other thing we had was, I think, Mark, we were going to discuss, at this time, we were going to discuss some safety training for the courthouse, correct? You want to go ahead and take that?
Okay. We had our meeting on the Monday morning. It was discussed about me taking the actions to start some training with employees. We've scheduled a meeting with elected and appointed officials for next Monday morning, I believe it is, with the sheriff and myself and then the other officials. And we're going to start planning for a day, an afternoon, where we can actually shut the courthouse down at 4 o'clock and do some training exercises. Leading up to that, we'll probably do a couple, at least one tabletop exercise with at least the elected officials before that, just to kind of ramp us all up for that different type of thing and everything going on in the within our county and within the country. We need to step up our safety and security for that. So we'll be working with NIRMA, inviting them to all of our trainings and et cetera. If they want to help with the training, that's fine. Otherwise, we're going to try to use some work with our local, the police department, fire department and such also, and the state patrol to help with that training. So hopefully we can do it very inexpensive. So
the other day we didn't discuss it, but all elected officials did. But do you need to include the Bruce Lang's office in some of this so they're aware of what we're doing or not? You guys just discussed that.
Yeah, we're going to involve the police department and the fire department, local fire department, since this is their jurisdiction also. So anything we'll do is so they're aware. The worst thing you can do is have the training and have a plan and not tell everybody that may be involved in it when something happens. So that's what we're going to be working with. So had some offers from other departments in the past, and we're going to take advantage of some of that free training also, State Patrol and U.S. Marshal's Office and those folks, Homeland Security. So that's the plan. Hopefully with the next, within the next 30 days, we hope to have everything kind of on a schedule. We'll set out a training exercise calendar for the year is what my plan is the proper way to do it, so everybody knows a year out. Not everybody's always going to be able to be at every training, so we're going to try to, if you can't, and it's a training we feel it's important for all the employees to make it, we'll make an exception and try to have an additional training. But for right now, our plan is for a year-long calendar for the next year to have that set up, so we've been working with that. My office, Joe Hawkins, will also be assisting me with that. He was in charge of training at the police department, so he's well aware of what we need to do there. So
I think this is good that we make this the new norm. You look at the types of activity that takes place in the courthouse. We have people coming, getting learner's permits, driver's permits, all the way up to people being sentenced in district and in county court for crimes they've committed. So we have a whole gamut here and people coming and going in the public. Not to mention there's things that go on outside of us, like you said, right across the street at times. And I think it's just a new norm. We need to plan on how to deal with those and other things that come up. So I think that's good.
I want to just touch base briefly here. I did this on our committee meeting Monday. But aligned with what you're talking about, Matt, we started keeping track as of April 13th of what we had going on over here. And we had 16 weapons violations, one drug possession at our screening station. And plus we have additional calls for service. I think we had at least one or two arrests. So the issues are there in the courthouse. If people don't think they are, they need to think twice about that. So that goes in line with some budget talks we're going to have. So,
okay. I think it's important, too, that we're not just working with the courthouse. We have other facilities off-site of the courthouse. So the Highway Department, Veterans Office, Extension Office, the Probation Office, they're not our employees, but it's still our facility. So we'll be working with those also. So,
And this is something that's been a long time in the making. Between Gus and Mark and some other individuals, there's been a lot of effort put into this, and it's good to see it finally come into fruition and move forward, and hopefully we can educate everybody so when we do have something occur, we're able to take care of it in an appropriate manner and everybody can work together to make sure everybody's safe.
Right. Well, one of the things also as far as communications with employees, as I've also contacted a couple companies that allow us to send out a mass text message or email or phone call. So, and not only could that be used during emergency times, but during snow, if the courthouse is going to be closed, if we ever close for the snow to our late start or whatever, we can also notify the employees of that. And so far, as far as I'm concerned, being in the communications field a lot, it's pretty inexpensive to get that done. And I think I could probably honestly say several percentage of the employees here have cell phones. I know we don't have them carry them necessarily when they're working, but yet sometimes, example at the highway department, I think since we narrow banded the radio system, they've lost a lot of coverage. So sometimes a cell phone may be the only type of coverage, radio communications or any type of communications they have. So it's important that we have that communication. So that's going to be a key part into this training procedure is who do we make that one phone? How can we make one phone call and everybody's aware of it? And there is, companies that do that, or there's services or devices that do that. So we're also looking at that part of that. So,
okay, Mark, when's that meeting on Monday? Do you have a time for
8:30? 8:30 Monday morning. In my office.
In your office?
Yeah. We also talked a little bit about the training exercise the Community Emergency Response Team had weekend before last at the homestead. Went very well. We had about 60 participants with victim and such. We had teams from across the state. Scotts Bluff is the furthest team that came. So we were happy to have them here. They were very happy with our facilities and homestead and my team that put on the training, and it went very well. And so I just thought I'd mention that. If you didn't get a chance, there was an article in the paper, and it was very, very good PR. So they very much enjoyed it, and the state appreciated it. So,
yeah, and speaking for myself, I'd like to say, Mark, thanks for doing a good job of running that and putting on a good foot for the community and everything.
Thanks. Okay.
That's for Mark. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else, Gary?
Nope, we're good.
Terry Rodenbridge.
Okay, during our committee meeting Monday morning, tentatively, they will be ready on the 28th, which is next Wednesday, to start paving on the 89th Road by the coke plant. Weather permitting, and it sounds like it's supposed to be good weather now finally, so they can get the work done. Wymore Bridge, progress report on it. We had the deck going to be poured approximately in 6 weeks. The culverts for our projects we have set up for next year, bids are out there to be opened on 9/4/13. Industrial Park, all the annex roads. Galen had contact with Ron Beatty from the city, and they're taking over maintenance of those, or have taken over maintenance of those as of right now. So we're no longer responsible for those few blocks that we've had scattered out through that area. We had some pictures of some damage that was done on Paddock Road by a Norris truck, replacement of some poles. It took several loads of rock and grading to get that back in shape. It was put on file. Galen's going to put it on file down there. Cooler heads prevailed, so it's in a file. The dump truck, latest report we have on it, end of September will be done. Only thing I can say about that one, it must be on a slow boat from China.
I don't want that quoted, Dave.
I don't care, Rod.
But seriously, but really, when did we take, we approved that in, was it May or June?
It's been a long time ago. A long
March
time ago.
April. Yeah, way back. It was March, wasn't it? Didn't we?
Slow.
Didn't we
approve?
Oh, you think so? Oh, because we still had time to go ahead and put a grader yet in last year's budget after that, because we got all the grader stuff because we knew that the dump truck was going to be moved into this year's budget, so we moved up the purchase of the grader yet last year, and we had time to do so. It was before June. Oh, a year ago. Oh, yeah. Okay, maybe a year ago in June. Oh. I was thinking this
year. The right June.
Yeah, long time. Yeah. Oh.
And then once again, I mean, sounds like a broken record. We had discussion on trees again. Eventually, we'll do something about it. So.
Well, but I think we're trying to give people plenty of time to say, here's first chance, second chance, third chance, come on. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think what we're looking for is just some sort of contact. If there's an,
right.
You know, but at this point, we're getting no contact. And I think that's the annoyance, is there are some specific issues that have been identified out there that there's validity on, and continue to give folks information, and they're just getting no contact. But we're just about done with that, because some of those, as we talked about, with harvest coming up and some of the things, there's not going to be enough room on the roads to be able to get some of the equipment down there. It's just encroaching into the right-of-way. It's just going to be a safety issue.
There are hazards out there, yeah. So I think Deb's published a letter in the papers, make everybody aware of it and what everybody's responsibilities are concerning that. So we'll go from there, I guess.
Questions for Terry at all? All right. Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove an interlocal agreement with Jefferson County and Gage Counties on bridge replacement project Odell West C-341003. A motion to approve or disapprove this interlocal agreement. And is this was one, let's get a motion first and then we'll discuss.
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Let's carry.
Okay, this is the project southwest of Odell that we had on our agenda 2 weeks ago. We tabled it until this meeting because the Jefferson County Commissioners weren't even aware of the situation at the time. So I had some phone calls ahead of that. So I spoke to one of them again this morning. They haven't, they've discussed it, but they haven't. It's on their agenda for next Tuesday. So they'll discuss it next Tuesday. With that being said, at least they know about it now. So I feel that we, this is something, the culverts are in place. We've had it on the 1 and 6 year plan for replacement, so it's not something that just came up overnight. So we're ready to go with them as soon as we get agreement with. It's a deal. It's on a Jefferson County line, Gage County line, so it's going to be a shared cost is what we're going to do with them on that. We're going to do the work. They're going to pay for half the materials. So.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next, approve or disapprove a subgrant agreement between the Gage County Attorney and the Department of Health and Human Services, Division of Children and Family Services for Child Support Enforcement Services. Need a motion to approve or disapprove, and we can have some discussion.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Byers.
Roger.
Basically, this is a similar agreement that we've had in the past that provides reimbursement for the authorized attorney, which is Mr. Kravick, that handles the child support. So it's basically money coming back in for the work that he performs. And we had a similar contract with the district court, so they could recover some of their costs that go into enforcing the child support. So, again, it's nothing new. Basically, it's a good thing for the county.
And this process, I assume, Roger, continues to be a good one compared to what used to be. I mean, it's always been portrayed to us that this has been a really good process and it works well.
I assume you, the information coming out of Lincoln, but it is centralized so that and computerized. And once they went through the process of actually getting it moving, I think it has worked out. I mean, we had a real good system down here. The personnel up in the district court did a real good job too. So, I think it has helped as far as things like tracking people that are derelict and not paying their child support, going after like driver's licenses if need be, or income tax refunds, those kind of things. It really has helped because some counties just didn't have the personnel to do that kind of stuff, so it kind of slacked. But I think it has worked once we got through the initial process.
So as far as the sub-grant goes, and I guess I'm going to just go through maybe some specifics. We incur a cost, we submit to the grant, or the grant comes in first?
Basically, we do an allocation that says here's what the costs are, like Mr. Kravick's salary, filing fees, all that stuff goes into the calculation. The state sits down and breaks it out percentage-wise what we're entitled in each. I think they do it annually, like an audit, because I know Diane up in district court, she has to do that. And she sits down with the folks, and it doesn't vary a lot from year to year, but they go through it every year. So if we would happen to have a bunch of cases in a given year and have more costs, we'll be able to recover those.
So 100%?
Well, it's not 100%. But anything directly related to Mr. Kravick's work is. Sometimes, you've got cases that are ongoing, and the state comes in just for child support purposes. There may have been some alimony or some other issues involved in a particular divorce sitting. Obviously, the state doesn't do anything in regard to that.
Okay. Any more discussion? Questions for Roger? Have a motion and a second. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Okay.
There are three originals. So.
Three originals. Okay. Can you have three originals?
Yes.
It has to be one, right?
They informed me there's three.
Okay.
I took them.
I'll sign all three. Okay, receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for political subdivisions 2013. I guess we'll do that, Patty. Let's. We need to read those into the record.
No.
And they're not, it's not off this legal. Is this kind of
that's
a summary
it.
Of them?
Yeah. This is your valuation
this
to
is
all
the
political
official.
Subdivisions. Those are the letters that went out to the political subdivisions.
So we've got the letters here that we'll be submitting, and then we'll be receiving, and I believe these are the official valuations.
They had to be sent out by August 20th. So.
Okay. And then we can... Do you have the one from last year? I used to get those from...
I know. I should have brought it down. No, well, I can get it.
It'd be nice to, if we could,
compare.
On our website, can we scan these and maybe have over the last... 3-4 years, just PDF files so people can compare. Is that something
that.
People, we could put the dates at the top. People can kind of scroll down and see what the differences are. I mean, I don't know if someone wants to see. So this is what we're going to, these are the letters that went out, and this is what we're receiving. Okay. So I guess I just need a motion to place these on file.
So move.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Any more discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0. Next is to receive a preliminary request for levy allocations to the county board from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society. Need a motion to accept those preliminary requests.
So move.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Do we have a list of those preliminary? Is that,
these
is
are
that,
what I used to base my resolution on.
Okay. And then all these, I know once there was the fire districts that came in, they have to be at 3%. Sometimes they would submit less than 3%.
They have to be at 3 cents, and yeah, they'll have to resubmit their budget because of that MFO. So what they'll do by September 20th is I'll send out this resolution to the political subdivisions, the fires and the townships. They'll have to submit their September 20th budget to reflect that change. So... Because some of them are under on the rural fires,
right.
Like Adams and Barnston and those, so they'll have to go to the 3 cents. Because at the time that they do this, they don't have the valuation. that has to be done by August 1st, and the valuation doesn't come out till August 20th, so.
More discussion? Have a motion and a second. Vote. 7-0. So we've received the valuation for the political subdivisions as well as the preliminary requests. Those are done. Approve or disapprove resolutions setting final allocation of levy authority for the following townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and the Gage County Ag Society. 13-22. Motion to approve or disapprove.
So move.
Moved by Byers.
To approve.
To approve.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. And the final allocation, before we, that's the thing, we approve these, the final allocation before we approve the budget. So do we want to, should we read those in for just those, do you have those, Myron, right? Do we all have those? Or they're submitted as part of this resolution.
Yeah.
More discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. All right. And I guess that's it. We're going to discuss the county budget, and we'll also have a closed session to discuss litigation. Is there, before we start to discuss the budget, is there anything else anyone else would like to discuss, throw out there?
No, I just remarked that. Or Denny would like you to, well, not Denny. Denny requested that in our next finance, you're always there for the sheriff and law enforcement. In the next finance committee meeting, too, if you could come up and explain some of your the reason because of all the funding for our communications and our radios and stuff. I didn't have an answer for him. So, because you're always at the law enforcement in the meeting at 7 o'clock, but finance will be about 9:30. Okay. So, in 2 weeks, before you leave, just in case I forget to tell you, that way we can have that conversation with the Finance Committee, too.
How verbose do we pretend to be? Does anyone need a point of privilege before we start going through the budget? No. Okay.
Well, I noticed our committee meetings are going to be on Friday because of Labor Day weekend, so our building and grounds would be doubled up. Maybe we want to go later.
Oh.
Different time.
Yes, Labor Day.
We
right? Yeah, 30th.
So never mind on Friday then.
Yeah. Well, which I suppose, let's see. Well,
Finance Committee could yield to Building and Grounds and then could meet after Building and Grounds.
And we don't have any rushing important things. There are a couple of things. There's something we need to do over the sheriff's office, and but we don't have anything just as urgent, so we could move for you to.
Well, what time were you scheduled?
Or we could move for me.
Do you want to be at 10:30? Or finance is usually at 9:30.
Sure.
Okay, and then have buildings and ground at 10:30?
Works.
That'll work. Is that
we're going to be there anyway.
Yeah, you'll be there anyway. At 9:30 already.
Okay, I want to get into time here. Okay.
We got to cut Juergens off. The one time he wasn't there, we were done at 8:30.
Yeah.
Weren't we?
Okay, 10:30 on building and grounds.
Well, at 10:30, we'll let you have buildings and grounds. Even if we're not done, we're out. Okay?
Okay. All right, Myron, let's discuss the budget.
I got just... As we discuss the budget, we've had a lot of meetings again here the last week. And I don't know how many copies I made. Trying to make enough copies for everybody to pass around.
I stole that one from you. Did you take it back?
I got it back.
Okay.
If not, just put this together so that as we're discussing this today, I don't forget some of them. But some of these things, I guess, that... we've gone through or whatever, the tax asking for 2013-14 budget is $7,880,907.25, as you see up at the top.
That compares to last year's budget, which was $7,612,991, an increase of $267,916.25, or the way this sits right now, unless there's more changes, an increase of 3.51919%. The last couple of years, and Don has passed out also another sheet here, and looking at the last few years, last year we increased just a little bit over, no, just, or 63, seven, we were at, I don't have that figure in front of me. Last year we increased 155,000, 149,000 last year. The year before, we actually went down a little bit over $1,000. And the year before that, we were up about $230,000. That's just for some comparisons that Don, I asked Don to get this sheet here together and that everybody could look at it too. Some of the bigger parts of the budget, probably the main one, the road and bridge, and I just put just some bullet points here. Budget for the road and bridge, $4,515,000, that's where we set the budget at, versus $4,209,000 last year, an increase of 7.25%. The total personnel for the road and bridge, and we have, I believe Don said, 29 employees down there and a couple more clericals, or we're around 30, 31 employees, and that is $1,227,000, or an increase for this next fiscal year of $113,000, or a little bit over 10%. And part of the reason, through the conversation what we've had, is last year's budget, I believe we were short a mechanic, and I think short another person or whatever, so they weren't, when we did the budget, that wasn't calculated. Since that, they've been added this year. Now that full salary will be calculated for the next year. There is included in the personnel down there a 3% wage increase. Also, it amounts to about $8,000. $6,000 comes out of planning and zoning, and $2,000 out of the weed. Part of the considerable meetings we've had this last year with Pam Bourne and everything, we've had those as salaries before, and they were each in their own department in the budget. We needed to make those as part of their hourly rate, and it's been moved over and included in the road and bridge budget now. Those figures. And then there have been several clerical pay increases. That is the part of that also has affected that and come into that $113,000 increase. The line items, we don't have all the line items set yet. That's we're visiting. This is the first Galen's heard about this final number. Even in fact, he will get that here today, and hopefully by our next budget meeting, when we have the public hearing, we'll have Galen and Mark. Mark has told us several times, you give us a number, we'll come back and prioritize or put in there what we need done. Because when they came with the original budget, we started making adjustments, or we started trying to decide which was more important. And I think through our discussion, we decided that Mark and Galen have a lot better expertise in that area and know a lot more of what really needs to be done, because part of what we asked them was time-wise, what could they all get done with the original budget they proposed. And so we've had those discussions. Hickory Road here, we did add a new line in the Road and Bridge Sinking Fund to start tracking Hickory Road in that project. Originally, we came up with about 880-some thousand in that Hickory Road that we'd hope to get done this year. We did take the utilities out, and we took the grading out. Just because of the timeline that we visited with Norris, there's a lot better probability that that'll get done in the following fiscal budget year for us and everything. And then Mark also has come up with and studying the fact that a lot of that cost out there for the utilities would be moving the line and the poles on the north side. We directed him to go back in, steady, and see if, what if we just, since we're going to regrade most of the road anyway, if we move the road a couple feet to the south, then all of a sudden we don't need to move the north electric lines. How much would that save us, or would it save us, or is that more feasible? Don't know that
they're going to come back with that. So that's why that's not in part of the Hickory Road part of the budget. And the other thing that we took out then was, like I said, the $200,000 for grading out. We did leave in a deck slab and a bridge, the bridge steel for the small bridge east of the Blue River Bridge, the railroad crossing. We left in there money for right-of-way engineering and two box culverts for a total of $387,000 on the Hickory Road this year. Now, this is not in the road and bridge budget itself. This is outside of that. The funding for that, the discussion so far has been that we will take part of that out in inheritance and part of it out of the road and bridge sinking fund to pay for those projects this year, those projects on Hickory Road. Any questions about the road and bridge or Hickory Road or anything I left out?
I don't think so.
Next big part of the budget is, I put them together here, the Sheriff's Department, Gus's Department, and the jail. The budget for the Sheriff Department, we have set it at $992,377 for this year versus $980,000 last year, an increase of 1.2588%. Gus, in his budget proposal, budgeted for a deputy with a primary duty of security and whatever at the courthouse, I guess, and not security, also for the courtrooms, yes. Part of the discussion we've had with Gus a little bit last year, and this in a way is unfair to Gus, but it's how the discussion with the budget went. He had $36,000 roughly left in last year's budget that he didn't spend. We looked at it a little bit as have that available money. We increased it to about the $12,000, and that's where we came up with this budget proposal. Also, here again, the if we go with the deputy in the courthouse, it's a little bit like the road and bridge budget last year. We're already 2 months into the budget, so his salary's not. Wouldn't be part of it. It'll be another month, 2 months, whatever period of time before he's here and going. So hit that full wage, and I don't remember Gus had around $35,000-$40,000 for that wage. That is not, would not all be in this budget this year anyway. That's the line of thinking we used on that. We did leave, and it is in buildings and ground, we did leave $120,000 in there for jail. Repair and upkeep, and Gus has already mentioned with us a few times of a few projects that are going to go on over there that need to be done. One of them was an air conditioning unit and some things like that. Just because of the condition of the jail and what we have there, we felt that was important to leave that in there. We did transfer a couple of small items out of Gus's budget, put them over into Dave's, and I'm going to visit with Gus again about, or have a little bit, but that maybe they should come out of this line here also. And if I think that would keep track of it too better, and then that's, we took them out of Gus, put them in Dave's building and ground. Now Dave comes back, no. So I mean, you have that, and I my thinking is that should come out of this $120,000. That's upkeep and maintenance on the jail.
So. And as we've had those, not emergency things, but they were kind of emergency things we need to change because the inspectors that came in, yep, said, you got to do this, you got to change the toilets, you got to do, yep, this. So having that in the building grounds has saved us, and I think we, right, need to continue that.
And a lot of those projects, I believe, are done or close to done. And so we're not looking at those, but we also realize the condition of the building we have over there and that there's going to be continued upkeep, and that's why we left that full amount in there.
Right, and probably should have air conditioning for the prisoners, the deputies. You know, I'm not sure we really need that, but I'm not.
The jail budget. We set the jail budget at $716,000 versus $690,000 last year, an increase of 3.768%. Probably the main thing there is, and the budget Gus and Tony came with to us, it had an increase of $20,000 for boarding. Last year, the budget was at $55,000, ended up spending over $80,000. This year, they came with $75,000. They have also asked for another correction officer over there because of the amount of overtime. This is the amount of money that the committee came up with and set the jail budget at. A couple other things there down there. Insurance would be including, and I don't think I worded this right, but we're including, insurance used to have its own line in the
miscellaneous
general. Amber and them when they were down, and I think discussion was that this really needed to be in its own, it pulled out of there, its own sub thing. And we had $200,000 in the sinking fund of insurance, but there's a new line now in the insurance sinking fund, and that's where this the money will be transferred into and coded out of.
Right. We'll operate out of the insurance fund versus the miscellaneous general now.
And that is primarily to do, not for us, but to have a better job of, I guess, tracking it or being aware of where it is and that type of stuff.
Because we're self-insured, too.
Because we're self-insured,
we need
yes.
to have it in a separate fund.
Like I said, there was $200,000 in that sinking fund. We're not funding that sinking fund anymore, but the insurance will be, all the insurance fund is out of there. Road and bridge sinking. It was currently at $1,149,274. We're not going to do any additional transfers in. We're adding a line in there for Hickory Road. We're also adding a line in there for the bond that was just passed, so that's where that will be tracked. And then Coke Road, we added a line in there, too, for that 89th Coke Road so that we can keep track of expenses and particularly the reimbursements. We've had discussion of this already the last 6 months, and we didn't quite, I guess, get up to speed quick enough on it because in last fiscal's budget, we did have some dollar amounts that was paid out of the road and bridge budget. That, when these funds come in, that's not transferred back into that fund. That's why this is set up separate. So as the county is paying for all those bills over there, and Coke reimburses us, now we have a separate line out of the road and bridge fund itself so that it doesn't get used up. It doesn't use part of the road and bridge fund. In other words, it'll come back in, the reimbursements will come back in there and offset it. But if we wouldn't have that, and the other day here there was a claim came through and it was a little over $16,000 again, and it was part of that Coke Road, we caught it in time. But otherwise, it would have came out of the road and bridge this year, and that would have been that much less in the budget. And that's why that line's set up in there. Got a couple other quick things, and I seen them walk in here. We left the $200,000 for legal counsel in there. I think most people have probably seen the article or know the fact that trial will be going on in January. We decided that we know there's going to be additional cost here in this budget, and that's why we left that in there. Probation, currently right now, probation, we've had a lot of discussion. We've had several meetings with Sarah down there. The decision right now today is to leave that budget the same. EMS agreements, and the reason I bring this one up is at one time, I think I brought up before the board that we had a meeting with them six weeks ago, had a really good meeting, visited with all of them, and that there was discussion about cutting that 10% after that meeting. And through our committee meetings, we're going to send out the EMS agreements now, leaving the funding the same as last year. Now, questions?
Just a comment on the sinking fund there, road and bridge sinking. I think the board's been very diligent and the public's been very tolerant of us taxing and building up that fund over a period of time. So we're going to start using those, what I call savings accounts, sinking funds. It's a semantics game. But we'll start to use those. We're not going to fund those. So that pulled $200,000 out of the general fund that we wouldn't have to tax people on. But the silver lining is there's a federal program now that will fund the federal buyback. It's estimated at this point, and at least for this year, and we're hoping it continues to go on. It was an agreement we signed. I think it was $300,000 that looks like that'll go into that sinking fund. So the beauty, if you will, is that those dollars will come back to the county, not part of the general fund that will be taxed and then transferred. We can start to use that savings account or sinking fund, and then there'll be a different source of revenue that will come in there and continue to build that sinking fund. So that's a good thing. Because that was when we were talking about how do we, the initial 8-point-some% increase in the budget, we scratched our heads, shook our heads, and said, no way. So as we're going back, or Myron's going back and looking at how do we get this down, we said, hey, there's $200,000 we can recover right there. And really not hurt the sinking fund because there's another source to fund that.
Yeah, about the first original number we came up, we kind of threw numbers at Dawn, and then she came back, and last Wednesday, we were over an 8% increase in this budget. And discussion was, no, that's not doable. Monday morning, then Dawn had
crunched some more numbers, and we came back, and it was about a 4.8. We went from there and adjusted, and yesterday morning I had a good visit with Matt, and the 3.5%, that's how we came up, or the reason why we came up with it, that we think that's a very doable budget, and those are how those numbers came about.
Just to reiterate what Myron talked about, so that increase is about $267,000, so about every cent that we levy is now, based on current valuations, will be about $230,000. And really, and I always like to talk about tax asking, and Myron's of the same belief there, with the levy going down by about 1.8 cents, if Patty was very gracious and didn't increase your valuation, you'll actually see a tax reduction. It doesn't help the folks that saw some rather large increases, but in those folks that didn't see any valuation change, there will be a tax reduction. Questions for Myron? I appreciate all the Myron. It's a tough. This was your first budget did, and I don't know if I helped you enough, but I think you did
a
good job. And the finance
committee
and everyone who helped. I think it is a group effort to go out there and visit with folks and. And we still have another meeting to discuss this.
On the 4th of September, no, yes. 4th of September, there will be a public hearing scheduled for the budget. And right now we plan on approving the budget on September the 18th, so that it can be up at the state office on the 20th.
Yeah, these are preliminary. These are
preliminary. Yes,
really.
These are very preliminary numbers. I don't know how often if I said that enough or not. No, there could very easily be some adjustments yet, and probably will be some adjustments to this. And I don't know, on Channel 10 last night, even Grand Island, City of Grand Island, their budget, and several times on that they mentioned these are discussions, and these are preliminary. And then there still is a good possibility, probably will be some adjustments yet to these. So.
I just want to say, too, Matt, I think Myron's worked real hard on this. He's done an excellent job, so I want to commend him for that. So.
Certainly.
So I look in the audience, and I see the two main budgets that were reduced. And would you like to contribute and have any discussion?
I think we'll pass on that.
But I see a couple others out there. Would you, Gus or Galen, would you like to have any comments? Or
I can touch briefly on at least the sheriff's office side. As the committee knows, the officials will try to keep the budgets in line. But it seems like over the last 40 years I've been doing this, we keep getting mandates, and usually always unfunded. And Myron and John real good come over and talking to me in my face, which I always appreciate. It's good to get that so there's no mix-up in the papers. But the one thing that was a concern to me, and we've gotten by for years, and Roger knows this as well, there's a statute out there requiring that I have to have up to two in the courts. And in the old days, we could do that, and I'm sure most departments across the state have. I know several of them are starting to change now. Seward County is going to two because the judges weren't as diligent as ours were, I guess, in asking. They said, you're going to. And so it kind of puts me on a hot plate. As you saw the stats, we're starting to have problems here, and I don't want to be malfeasance of my office because I didn't at least bring it to the board. And I'll have to see if I'm able to squeeze some pennies out here to do that with that. But I am obligated to the judges to that, not to the courthouse. That's kind of gravy on top of everything here, but to the courts. And so it's important to me that we all understand that is my main thrust is having that. That's not someone to sit around or in the office or be on the road. It's for here, a mandate. So, you know, I guess that's all I can really address on that.
And that's one thing I probably didn't put in a line here either. Gus Vitt did visit with us at a committee meeting the other day about a lot of these things are statutes or there are requirements that the sheriff's office or the jail office, people always talk to us and they think, why are you doing this? Why are you spending that money? There's so much of that budget, particularly over there, that is a requirement or a statute that is here. We don't have a choice on some of that. And I know throughout the year, if there's two things I get comments on as a supervisor, it's the roads and it's the sheriff's department. I mean, those are what people see that out in the public. They're aware of it. They drive on the roads. They either get a visit they don't want with the sheriff, or they see him out there traveling down the
out in the county, we get to hear it. Well, why are they traveling there? Why are they spending that money? I mean, this isn't something that we had discussion at just this morning. These are discussions that go on throughout the year, and Gus's budget, a good part of that is his hands are tied on.
Well, and I've had people comment as well as Myron hears it, and my answer flat to him is said, you look at the makeup of Beatrice, of the county, you look at the makeup on my website with my jail roster, it's different, has changed, and because of that change, it's making a difference in how we do things. And so, anyway, I guess that's my two cents on the jail side. And
well, thank you for bringing that up.
Gus, how many deputies do you have?
I have 12, counting myself and chief deputy.
How many does Saline County have, just as an example?
14.
Our geographical size, 860-some square
miles. 900-some, I believe.
So.
Oh, yeah, we're larger. And call for service or more. I mean, we've always had that. It's just, like I said last year, I think we're about 7,000 calls for service. So they keep going up. You know, that's just fact of life. That's the way it is. So do what you can. Thanks.
And also, not on Gus's budget, but like the courthouse, the employees, that we have a step plan for them. We hope to implement, or we've told the highway department that by next year's budget, we will implement a step plan for them. That step plan, that, you know, in this budget here is also all the wage increases for all the employees of the county or whatever. I believe the elected officials and department heads like Galen and so on, their increase was a 2%. I forgot to mention that. Because the elected officials were set at 2%, so then the department heads also have that. All the others are, like here in the courthouse, you have the step plan, so that's kind of set out there. And that, I believe, is somewhere between a little bit over a 3% or something, average or something. Then we also had the agreement with the union over there, too. So we had that step plan. So that's also, those increases come into this budget every year, so a good share of our budget, I didn't come up with a total amount for wages for employees, but a good share of our budget is wages. And I know Matt in the past has, but I didn't know how to pull that out of every category or whatever. But spends considerable amount of wages.
And one of the things that's not always a pleasant conversation, again, I'll sit around and awfulize again, is when it's a public body and you've got to look at comparabilities, because you know if you go to CIR, you know how they'll do it. So you can save everybody a bunch of money by being proactive. Look at the comparable counties, shoot for the midpoint, because that's what CIR is going to do. So you might as well do that on the front end and, again, save everybody a bunch of money. It's not always pleasant in order to do that, because sometimes it can be expensive. But the other hand is, if someone feels like they're not being treated fairly, then that's where you'll end up. And so it does become a consideration as part of the budget. I believe it's at 60% of our budget is wages and benefits, so it's a big part. It's as far as tax asking goes, and you want to hire good people, you want to pay them appropriately, and you want to ask a lot from them, because that's taxpayer money, and if you're spending it, you expect a lot. And so if someone feels like they're being pushed too hard and for the wage that they're getting, they'll move on down the road, we'll bring somebody else in. And that's my awfulizing about wages. You want to hire good people, you got to pay them appropriately, because if you don't, someone feels like they're being treated unfairly, where you will end up.
Bring up a quick point, just what you said there, the city of Grand Island, the police officers, I think it's a 26% wage increase because they did comparability studies, and that's what it came back as. So, I mean, we've done those quite often here, Matt. Been good about it, and we've done one. Don pulled one out for us, or did one for us last year with the road and bridge too. So we have some comparabilities on those and know where we're at. So,
just a point, just to throw out, I've gotten several telephone calls, and this is on a subject that I don't totally understand myself. Is the new Lincoln education facility they're going to be building in Lincoln for SCC, and it's going to be used primarily by Lincoln Public Schools. And the question on why the SCC budget in Beatrice in this area includes some of the cost for building that, and I don't understand it myself. So I've been getting several calls, and somebody maybe can give us from SCC can give us some answers relative to that. But apparently, it's in the SCC budget here. It primarily exclusively is for Lincoln Public Schools, and it's the Learning Academy that they're building. It's been front page news.
I'll speak a little bit on our Engage meeting the other night. Bob Morgan was there, and he talked a little bit on that too. And I don't understand, and I'm not even putting these words out there other than the fact that Bob did explain a little bit about half of that is coming from the city, or the schools, and half of it from Southeast Community College. No, they are building this facility, and I even hesitate to say it, but if I remember right, he said that most of it always will be, it's agreements with Lincoln Public School, but that doesn't mean that somebody from one of the other schools out here couldn't be part of one of them programs. The hindrance to that is the travel time for them. They are studying the fact of how to incorporate that concept in some of the other outlying communities and areas. Say for instance, he said, if down here with Fairbury, Tri-County, Wilbur, Beatrice, if they did something here on the Beatrice campus. That is not anything that they've done, but they are looking at that also. But there again, those comments, talk to Bob Morgan, don't take my comments because it may not be quite right what he said. But that same question was brought up at the Engage meeting, and he gave us some oversight of why, I guess.
Well, if we can get some more information on it, it'd be helpful. At least our taxpayers are calling as appropriate.
I understand.
And
yeah.
So even though we don't control what they put into their budget, we do approve their levy. And so I think it's
well, important. We have locally, let's see, Bob Fite from Pickerel. He's their chairman of the Board of Governors, I believe, for Southeast Community College. He's pretty knowledgeable. He might be a good resource. I guess I hate to sit out here and drop names, but that'd be if people would call, they could contact him. And then what's Dale Cruz? Was he?
He's on the board.
He's on the board as well. So there's a couple local resources that we should probably defer people to, and that's a good point because, you know, we're not going to be able to answer those things. That's on those folks. So good point.
Thank you.
Anything else budget-wise? Last call. No? All right. Okay, well, last thing on the agenda then.
Hey, Matt.
Yes, sir.
Can we bounce back up to the committee reports?
Mm-hmm.
There's one other thing I wanted to discuss on the emergency management to go along with the courthouse security and training program. Emergency manager had a question put to him with this last deal when we were trying to close down the courthouse or shut things down as to where do you or do you have the authority to do this? And that question was brought to Mark as the emergency manager. I think it's probably a good time that we have that open conversation here in this group to understand that through the training process, everybody should understand who has them authorities and who doesn't. But I think right now might be a good time also to just say, you know, as the emergency manager, you know, Mark probably does have that authority. I guess the one question that I did have was his job and reimbursement, we don't want him acting as a law enforcement officer in order to endanger them reimbursements. I don't believe that that would cause any problems with that reimbursement, and I guess I wanted to clarify that with Roger.
Well, I think part of it was, you know, at least because I didn't find out anything about it until I got an email from my deputy. And so the communication we got to work on. There's just no question. And I'm not going to point fingers because we haven't had a meeting to really find out where was the breakdown. My understanding, the call came into the clerk's office. They tried to find somebody that could shut down the courthouse. That was the call that came in, which I have no fault with that. I mean, my gosh, you know, they were still serving Burger King over there when we had a robbery apparently going on. But we'll look at that. But we didn't secure this building, and that's very troubling.
Right.
And I know some people were out on emergencies, and I think we just need to identify who, you know, if you can't get a hold of this person, who's the next one? And it's got to go like that because, I mean, they could easily run come across the street.
Yeah, so. I agree completely, Roger. I don't have any idea who the elected official was that was complaining about that or question mark on it. I just, it's just something I think we need to we need to have it clarified, and I think this process is where we need to get that done.
And again, it's, you know, like the clerk. I mean, if she, if the call comes in there, that's, I don't, you know, we can decide that's fine. Don't, but you try this number, no answer, you go to the next one. You just keep moving until you find a live body, and then hopefully they can do the lockdown. Right. I think that's the concern I had, was we just were running around telling people to lock their doors. Not everybody can lock the doors.
Well, there's the, where they're working on a solution to that. Davey's actively working on that, and it's a security issue, so we don't want to go into the details, but there is an active solution to resolve that. And then, you know, I know we talked about this in committee meetings. I guess my thoughts are, and I said it there, I'll say it here, always default to lockdown, default to safety. If there's a question, we should be able to enable people through training to do things appropriately and then have a way to unlock. But, yeah, I would say always default to if there's a question about it, because I think the communication that I had was, you know, do we lock it down? I said, yeah, lock it down. And I called Gus, and Gus says, hey, they're north of town. 30 seconds later, I call back, unlock it. You know, so it moves pretty quick. But we need to be able to enable people locally within the building to not feel like they have to call somebody to do that. And then hopefully through that training process, they'll get there. So, but there are systems in place, or the working systems allow that, and they may already be there. So I don't want to talk too much about security.
No, no. We can talk about that at that meeting.
Good point. Good point.
We can just give Doug Kennedy the authority because he seems to know everything first.
That's all I had on that, Mark. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're our local crystal ball, aren't you? Okay, sorry. All right. Anything else for the good of the order, the general agenda? And then what we're going to do is going to have a going to go to executive session. Anything else? Okay, seeing none, need a motion to go to closed session to update on litigation necessary for the protection of the public interest or the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. Need a motion to go into executive session.
I would move we go into executive session.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote 7-0.
Hey, Terry.
9:47.
I wasn't referring. I was just saying, you're not buying that truck from China, are you? That's because it has no bullet holes.
Okay. Need a motion to come out of executive session at 10:49.
Move to come out of executive session.
Moved by Setzer.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order, the Board of Supervisors? Anything else? See none. We are adjourned. 10:50.
Adjourned.
That's just my
French. French.